This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Christopher.
Yes, sir.
John O'Shea is here with me.
We're back.
The co-host, yes.
It's my turn again.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Great. Yeah. It's great to be back. Couple week break. Mr. Bombasuto was partnering with you for a couple weeks. And now in this hot summer day.
Yeah, got you back.
Here we are.
And you were coming back because you had lined up a great guest for us tonight, but he got a cold and he's got laryngitis and only about a quarter of his voice. So he asked if we could reschedule and we said, let's just do it next week. And he said, great, let's do it next week.
Well, he's going to reschedule. He doesn't know if he can do it next week. So
okay.
He'll do it another time. He's checking the calendar. I think he had given us a date in September. So, but anyway, it's an open show. So call in, but he's going to come on soon. He's going to be talking about annuities. We promised that show. It is coming.
Yeah, let's explain why the guest that we had would have been perfect for this topic. And it's fortunate that he can't be here tonight, but there's a reason that he can't be here tonight. So no big deal.
Yeah.
We'll just do it the next time. Hopefully it's next week. Does he said he can't do next week or he hasn't decided yet?
When I talked with him earlier, we exchanged a month or two ago, he gave some dates, I think August and then one in September. And when we contacted him today, he said, I'll get back to you with some dates.
Okay. So when he is, what's his title there? You probably have that from, you know, you were ready to do the interview. What was this? What's his title?
Well, he's with the
American College.
And he's also with a firm. So, he's Dr. Wade Fowle. So,
key is he does research for the American College. So let's explain what the American College is. The American College is the educational arm of the life insurance industry, which annuities are part of the life insurance industry. So he's got a doctorate in, something.
He's got a doctorate. He does. He has a PhD in economics.
Okay. And he does research for the American College, the education arm of the American College. And and when we talked to Wade, I've read many articles from him, and he's also talked about annuities and a lot of the promises that are being made in annuities. And he says, now, wait a minute, these annuities have a place, but they're being sold in a very inappropriate manner. And he really appreciated the opportunity to be able to come on and talk about it because the American College doesn't want to mislead people. They have no desire to do that. They want their agents to be educated on sophisticated techniques on insurances and annuities and make sure that they educate the public in the proper way of using life insurance and annuities and so forth. So that's why Wade would be the perfect guest. He's a neutral candidate. He's not selling the things. He doesn't have an economic bias in the game. He just wants to make sure that people get the right information.
Right, and he his PhD and his master's are from Princeton.
Well,
economics.
There you go.
So
I guess that means something.
Pretty solid credentials.
Well, it's
we could have done that, but we just,
it's near Pine Valley Golf Course, so how could that be bad?
Why we would have to show off like that? I'm kidding. I'm really looking forward to the show for him to come in. For someone who works with him, he recommends life insurance tools and annuities and what have you along the way.
He does a lot of sophisticated studies on how to help people hit all their retirement goals. So, we could talk to him about lots of topics, but the main one we want to do is just address what's going on in these annuities. Is there truth to the way that people are perceiving them? And how do you communicate what's going on truthfully?
Sure.
And it's all misleading. It's horribly misleading, and it's a disgrace to the industry.
Yeah, we talked about how we found the folks out in the Midwest. We're looking at them, the low and no load insurance people. The firm is set up; that's all they do. Their people are salaried, and the products that they use are all no and low load insurance products.
Right.
Annuities.
So anyway, we'll talk about that next. Right now, tonight we're on a open show, so we're back to like last week, where you know basically our listeners are our guests, and they can call in and talk about anything they want. They can call in and talk about insurance, or they can talk about estate planning, wills, power of attorney, advance directives. They could call in and talk about elder care planning. They can call in and talk about investments or
insurances,
Roth IRAs, health IRAs, 401ks, health insurance, the exchange, you know. You know, how do you deal with all that? Long-term care insurance, anything. If it deals with your personal finances, we can deal with it. We'll help you on it. So tonight you get to be the guest, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question and lead the topic or the direction of the conversation tonight, that's the way to do it, 410-922-6680. And in the interim, Chris, just before, we're only about a minute away from our first traffic break anyway, you had said you wanted to talk about powers of attorney. And so what is the power of attorney? Power of attorney is a document that somebody signs that says, my wife can handle the finances as if she's me. So
adorable.
No matter what, if she wants to take these documents and go out and sell the house and wipe my 401k out and sell the cars, she can do it if she wants to, because I've signed a document that said she can handle the finances as if she's me. Now, there are a lot of people tremble at that concept. Why would anybody?
And should.
And why would anybody do that? You know, and the answer is because, well, if I'm ever disabled, you know, I need her to have that kind of power. Or else then we're both in serious trouble. And so I want to have that document, but I have to have unconditional faith in the person I put that. Now, I could go home and find I don't live there anymore. Hopefully
here's
that's
a place
not true.
We can build an out.
The good thing, she doesn't listen to the show anymore. She listened to it for about a week or two when I first started, but after that she said, that's pretty boring. I'm not gonna
we could just build
that.
A house on the property near the office, you know, if something like that happens.
I could just, you know, if you put a shower in there, I could just stay there, you know.
I could fix up our garage.
Anyway. We're on an open show tonight. If you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Now's the best time to get in. I do have one caller on the line. I'm going to have to make him hold through this first pause, as we like to call it. But if you want to get on while we're on this pause, 410-922-6680. Right now, we got to take it away to traffic. You need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com, or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE. All right, that's a pretty good song.
There you go.
All right.
She's starting off well.
You see, Anita retired last week.
And
completely.
We have
no, she went off to teach young people. So we have Mia Carolina. Anna Caroline.
I was wondering where you got that name from. Mia, I'm thinking, did she change her name?
Anna Caroline.
There you go.
And she's still in high school, aren't you?
No, she. Yeah, she was when she started a couple years ago.
I don't have your name right. I don't have your educational background right. Your second year of college, and she always does a great job, and she knows what kind of music we like, you know? You can't beat that, can you?
There you go.
Anyway, we're going to Mike in Park Heights. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, Drew, how you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, in short, Drew, I just wanted to know, I don't know if your guest kind of got in late today on the show, but look, I wanted to discuss with the audience, and maybe you could expound on it a little bit, about self-insuring and the reason why people should purchase life insurance. You know, I think a lot of people are under the...
Well, you should purchase purchase life insurance if you need it. You shouldn't ever try to self-insure.
Life insurance is used to buy you. And the key to... I mean, people who understand money and wealth understand that life insurance is an income replacement vehicle, and that's what it should be purchased for.
You're talking life insurance for your family if for some reason you pass away and the family doesn't have enough assets to support himself without you. Is that what you're talking about?
If we plan correctly, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to term life, they say, well, you know, after so many years, I have nothing. And I try to explain to them that, look, if you work on paying down your mortgage, getting rid of any debt, then you can self-insure at that point. So the
yeah, but that normally takes place around 50 or that normally takes place around 50 or 60 years of age for the typical family.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But I'm saying if we can start young people early enough.
You're right.
And understand the purpose of life insurance is income insurance, I'm telling them. That's what I want to, really, the point I'm trying to make, Drew.
Hey, Mike, you know, my best friend passed away a couple years ago, but I made sure that he and his wife had enough insurance, if God forbid, and we didn't ever expect it. It was totally unexpected. But when he passed away, his wife and children are not worried at all about how they're going to make ends meet financially. And I praise God for that. You know, I miss them terribly, but sure. I also praise God that we were wise enough to take care of everything for them in that regard. Raymond in Rogers Forge, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew, it's about the national debt.
National debt. That's a lot.
Could I wake up one day and the national debt is like, oh, my God, and, like, my money, my cash be totally worthless like the Weimar Republic?
Theoretically, that is a possibility. I mean, theoretically, I don't necessarily know that we're anywhere close to that at this moment in time, but theoretically, that is a possibility.
Well, you know, I'm in a really a lot of cash position, and I'm wondering, like, if my money is in the bank and it's all electronic, it's not paper dollars, it's electronic. I pay electronically, I receive direct deposits electronically. What difference does it make if I have dollars, as long as I have wealth electronically, as long as someone's willing to take that transfer?
Well, I think that, you know, not too far into the future, people who want paper and coins are not going to get it. They're only going to get electronic. I don't think we're too far off in the future that somebody's going to tell us that that's the only way you're going to get it. And the reason they're going to do that is, again, it's going to be for more control. It'll, you know, the main people who use cash and coins and things like that are people who are using it for purposes other than legal purposes. That's not everyone,
no.
But I would say probably 50%. It's just a guess. 50% of all cash transactions are done for illegal purposes.
Well, young people don't use cash.
No, young people don't use it. I don't use cash.
I use very little cash.
I use very little cash. So, Raymond, I got to run, but it's a good question. Something that we all have to worry about. Joe, in Heaven and Grace, how can we help you?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Doing great.
You?
Thanks.
Hey, you started off the show talking about annuities and... And we're pretty simpatico in our thinking about them. What I wanted to talk to you about is the enforcement on annuities. My understanding is that FINRA and the SEC, because annuities are an insurance product, they're not governed by FINRA and SEC.
Well, let's clarify that, okay? Right. There are numerous types of annuities, Joe. There are variable annuities. There are fixed annuities. Variable annuities are governed by both FINRA, the Securities Commissioner, and the Insurance Commissioner. Fixed annuities are only governed by the Insurance Commissioner. And those are the ones that are typically over-misleading advertising, okay? And the reason that they can get away with it a little easier, it's not perfect, but they can get away with it a little easier, is that according to the insurance commissioner, as long as the product is approved by the insurance commissioner, it can be sold to anybody under any circumstance, and it's up to the buyer to determine whether they really need it. Whereas security products, FINRA and so forth, have what's called a suitability standard. Even though the product is approved, you still must prove that it is suitable for the person that you sold it to. So there's part of your problem that you're talking about, that, you know, that the advertising can be a little more misleading if it's strictly fixed and only under the insurance commissioner. And I'm sure the insurance commissioner is jumping up and down screaming, no, I will not allow that to happen, if he's listening to us right now. But, you know.
But in addition to that, the way that certain radio stations, including WCBM, advertise annuities using native advertising, and for the people who don't know what native advertising is, it's when the announcer is live on his show saying, hey, I use so-and-so, and I did a great job with my annuity. That's a native ad. It's a live ad.
And in the securities industry, you cannot do that.
Well, but what the radio station, this radio station in particular, doesn't understand is that the FTC, who they don't even pay attention to because they pay mostly attention to the FCC, does talk about testimonial advertising, and they have slapped a number of companies that have made testimonial-type ads like the annuities are using. So when you go on there and say, hey, use my guy to get an annuity because he does a great job, one is you better actually be using that guy, and you need disclaimer language, and they lack that disclaimer language.
Yeah, I hear you, Joe, and it's a problem. Hopefully when Wade comes on, we can really do a good, neutral understanding of the products, okay?
Yeah, that would be great, and maybe this radio station, even after I sent them an email giving them all the information from the FTC and they duly ignored it.
Well, I can't talk about that.
I know you can't. I gotta run. That's okay.
All right, buddy, take care. He's got a good point, though. Brian in Bel Air, how can we help you, Brian?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had some general questions, I guess, about finance, if it was open.
Yep,
call.
Go ahead.
So I've got a pretty decent 401k. I'm in my early 50s, a couple of rental properties, residential rental properties, and I'm looking at paying off my principal residence, and I'm looking for, I guess, what I should do with my income going forward.
So are you maxing out your 401k?
Yeah, I'm maxing that out.
So, and are you married?
I'm divorced. I'm single.
Okay. So you're maxing out your 401k. Is your income well above $100,000 or less than $100,000?
Above, but not well above. I mean, it's like 130.
Oh, okay. So he's above the Roth limits.
Yep.
So, but there are ways to do Roth IRAs even though you're above the limit. So you should get some good tax advice to figure out how to get your assets positioned so that you could do $6,500 a year into a Roth IRA, because I'm going to assume you're 50 years old or older.
He said early 50s, right?
He said early 50s, Chris.
He did.
So
where'd
listening,
that come from?
Too. So, you ought to look into how to do that. That gives you $6,500 to do into a Roth IRA every year. Paying off your mortgage is a very good strategy, if you've got excess cash flow. And, other than that, what you really need to know, Brian, is are you saving too much money for the future? Because, you want to make sure you live for today also.
Right, that's true.
So you need to do, and you also have to strategy as to what you're going to do with the rental properties if something happens to you. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to make sure they're managed and so forth? Hopefully you got a good strategy for that.
Yeah, probably need a little work on that, but...
Okay, you got to get there, because really those, easy, if you have investments, they're easy to manage if something happens to you. But a rental property is very difficult to have somebody take over, and you need a strategy for that. So anyway, these are just some of the ideas, Brian, that I can give you within a few minutes of this radio show.
All right, well, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy, you take care. And look at that, Chris, 6:29
on the
mark.
Nose. Impressing
Anna
Carolina.
Impressive. Anna Carolina, got your name right, sort of. and I know you're in your second year of college now, so we're going to take it away to traffic. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We'll be right back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
What is that? Daryl Hall.
What's that?
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Yeah, Hall and Oates.
Yeah. You know, it's all right. Do you like it?
Yeah, I like more 70s Hall and Oates than the 80s Hall and Oates when they got, you know,
they always,
a little more pop 40, top right. 40 type stuff.
But anyway, Chris.
He had one of the great voices of the last 30 years.
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, yeah. And he's got a show on called Daryl's House. He brings current artists and old artists up, and they just play music together. It's really good stuff.
I'm not into
music. You're sorry
music.
You asked.
In case you didn't tell, I'm not really
you
into
music. You look at me, yeah, quizzically, like, why are you saying all this?
Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to direct the conversation of the show tonight, 410-922-6680. You get the call, and we've had questions about the national debt. We've had questions about 401ks, and what do you do with your excess cash flow?
By the way, national debt is like $19 trillion now. I picked up the clock.
That depends on whether you include Social Security or not.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about the unfunded liabilities.
I mean, if you include the Social Security Trust Fund, it's only $17 trillion if you don't include the Social Security Trust Fund or something like that. Anyway, we're going to, what's that say, Dallas? So it's Dallas in Taneytown. Dallas, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir, go ahead.
Reason I was calling is Father Hans and I, due to an inheritance, are going to be receiving what I will call a substantial amount of income via a 401 and a bank transfer. And we're both 50 years old. We both are retiring in a few years, or at least taking our pensions in a few years, and looking to redirect our life where it's not, you know, so consuming.
Right.
With this in mind, my question to you is, with everything changing as it is, the national debt, the government, I'm not an anarchist, but I'm going to add that to it. What type of suggestions are there out there for an individual like me looking, you know, being in that red zone of retirement?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. I guess you're asking, like, what type of investment should I be doing? Is that basically the gist of it?
Yeah, what options are there? I mean, I do have, between us, we have a couple 401s, 403. I mean, the same basic thing everybody has.
Right, but you also, you said you had, do you actually going to get a pension from somebody you're retiring from, or just a 401k?
No, we're also, both of us are also going to receive pensions.
So from a big company or a government?
Government, so they're not substantial.
Federal or state?
State.
State. Well, but, you know, state government's a good pension, and it does come with a cost of living increase. So you couple that pension with your Social Security when it's time to collect that, too, and the investments that you have put together there. You know, I mean, you know, I think you should be in good shape. Now the question is, how much money do you need to live on? That's really the question you have there, my friend, is how much money do you need to live on? Then you look at, well, how much am I going to get from my pensions, and how much then am I going to have to draw off of my investments? And then the question is, well, what internal rate of return do I have to get on my investments for the rest of my life to get it to keep me and my friend going for the rest of our lives, assuming that we have some kind of inflation factor? Once you get all that done, then you can then decide, well, what type of investments are going to logically give me the greatest statistical likelihood of doing that, you know, and
especially preservation of capital is a goal.
Preservation of capital, but also a inflation adjuster over time.
Sure.
You're going to
need
that.
Sure.
And normally the way that we would do it, Dallas, is we would be using some kind of stock and bond portfolio to accomplish that goal and objective. I mean, that's normally what you're going to do, and that'll normally bring you into some kind of success rate that would be in the high 90% ratio, depending, as long as your goals are not out of line with what you really have available to you.
Understood. I guess where I was a little more than that, and I'll try not to burn up too much of your guys' time, with this amount of inheritance coming in, do you see a better avenue? Would I be better looking to add it to a 401 or do an investment, maybe even give you guys a call and come into the office?
Well, what you really need to do, Dallas, is you need to do an analysis as to what do you need and what do I have to accomplish the goals going, because I'm going to assume, listening to you, you're probably only in your mid-50s.
Yeah, I'm 51, and I'm hoping to retire to a part-time job in 5 years.
Okay, so you need to look at that analysis and say, you know, this is what I'm going to need to be doing. So first thing I would definitely be doing is maxing out my 401k contribution for the next 4 years or so that you're working. That's a definite. You know, you want to be doing that. And then you need to determine, should I be doing Roth contributions or should I be doing IRA or traditional 401k contributions? I mean, you know, the question you're asking is complicated because it all comes down to what you're trying to accomplish. And without doing the analysis, it's impossible for me to actually, I would hurt you more than I would help you to say something.
Sure. Yeah, you give a false picture with incomplete information.
In other words, if I was an annuity salesman, I'd say, you know, Dallas, you need an annuity. You know, if I was a stock salesman, I'd say, Dallas, you need to be in the stock market. But we're not. We're comprehensive advisors, and we fee only, and we're looking for the best solutions for people.
Okay, well, that's kind of letting me know my best direction because I've, you know, really had no plans other than what I've done, so... What I may do is go ahead and, if it's okay, give the offices a call in a week or two and maybe set up a meeting.
Yeah, because, you know, what you're talking about, you said you were inheriting a 401k, right?
Well, we inherited a 401 through it's called Merrill Edge. We're
yeah,
not
but
what we want to do with
it was a parent that passed away?
What was that?
It was a parent that passed away that
well,
you inherited?
Well, it was a family member, not a parent.
Okay, but it was a family member. So you're a non-spousal inheritor of the account, so therefore you have numerous options as to what you can do with that account and how you are able to handle it, and you need to make sure you know all those options and you do them right so that you get the maximum benefit out of that. Now, you can roll it over to an IRA, an inherited IRA, and you need to make sure you understand all those different options and that you're taught them properly. Because I see a lot of bad information. I'm telling you, you can't believe some of the things we hear people tell people. We see it all the time.
I don't know why I started listening to you guys, because I don't want to make the mistake others have.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to, we'd love to talk to you. But, you know, you really need to have that comprehensive analysis, sir. All right?
Sounds good. I'll get everything in order. When the paperwork's done, I'll get in touch with the office.
All right, Dallas, you take care. And we're on an open show.
And it's break time.
No, it's not, Chris. It's
not
2 minutes
time?
To go.
Oh.
But we don't have anybody else online right now. So anybody who wants to get online, 410-922-6680 is the way to do that. 410-922-6680. You know, and you were talking about, again, back to that power of attorney, is how many people come into us that do not have legal documents,
right?
The estate documents, the will, the power of attorney, the advance directive. Those are the three key documents that most people, almost everybody, needs those three documents, or at least to consider the benefits of those three documents.
Yeah, especially the one more recently, just the power of it, because we're talking to a client who said, I did have a power attorney for my mother, and I was able to transact everything for her when she was unable to. So without that, though, the steps that you have to go into, again, it gets to more people think about life insurance, which you need to consider that, but you're at least five times more likely to be disabled for a period of time than you are to die prematurely. So people don't think about disability or what if you're unable to do things, transact business. That's where you have to consider a power of attorney, but you better have complete trust in the person you give it to.
Hold on 1 second. We're going to just take a quick question from Steve in Glen Burnie. Steve, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. I like your show. It's great. One thing that I find is kind of strange anyway is your opening thing, theme music. That is weird. Where the heck did you find that?
It's an interesting story. One day I'll tell you it, Steve. The song has nothing to do with freedom from money. It is it's totally different, and it's by a guy named Jason Upton. And if you ever listen to it one day, and you know who I am, you'd understand the song much better But it's not time to explain it to you right now.
Okay.
All right, Steve, I appreciate it. I had another caller used to call me all the time, tell me he hated my opening song. I can't remember what his name was, you know, but anyway, we're going to take a quick pause, and we'll be right back with an open show, 410-922-6680. I got one caller online. I have room for at least one or two more when we come back after this pause with traffic. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we got one caller online. We're going to go to him in a second. But before we do, I just wanted to say something real quick, and that is to Dallas. You know, we just started to, in the last two or three months, we've implemented a whole new collaborative online planning tool where mm-hmm. we can really work with the client, and the client will have access to a 24/7, 365. It's a really cool concept.
Sure.
So exactly what we were talking about with Dallas is figuring out what you have, what you want to accomplish, what are your goals and objectives long term, what are you worried about, and I mean this program is just really super cool. So that's, you know, what we do is what we call personal financial management. We help a client manage their finances, and that's really what people should be doing, is managing their finances. Anyway, we got to go to Sam in Pikesville. Sam, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. So I'm a younger guy. I guess I'm 30. I'm starting out.
We're younger guys too, Sam.
He laughed.
He did.
So, I mean,
he wants us to answer his question too.
He does.
Go ahead, Sam.
My question is, I never know who to trust in the whole investing world, and you know, I hear a lot of people say a lot of different things. I love your show just because you guys just seem straightforward and all. And you know, what's for a young guy? I mean, hey, I've got a 401k. What do I? I mean, is that all I should be doing?
Well, you should be doing the 401k. Are you married or single?
Married.
Okay, so you should definitely be doing the 401k to the maximum extent you two can possibly do. If you are having children, you're planning to have children?
Yeah, sure, we got two.
Okay, so you need to be thinking, are we going to put them through college? And if we are, how are we going to be making those payments for college? So you got to think about that planning goal. You then have to think about, how do I have money set aside for those emergencies, for when I need a car and things of that sort. So I have to have some strategy as to how I'm going to take care of those things. I'm assuming you two already own a house, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to plan, am I going to upgrade our house in the future, or are we staying here? You know, now, economically, the best thing to do is to stay where you are. The more you move, the more it costs you.
So essentially you're saying if he maxes out a 401k at $18,000 per year, he has nothing left. If he puts money into a 529 plan.
I didn't say he was supposed to do it, Chris. I just said he had to think about all these different layers.
What I'm saying, though, is if you do some of those things, by the time you get to that, those plans, like a 529 plan, we would tell you where to go and do that. There isn't a lot left over to necessarily do a lot of investing on your own.
Right,
you can still do that. But sure.
But you have to have these goals. You see, Sam, what kind of work do you do?
Construction industry.
Construction industry. Do they set goals and objectives for each project you're working on?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Do you go home and do that with your personal finances?
I guess to a certain extent, but it's very informal and it's all basically in my head.
Yeah, well, you know, what if you told that to your boss at work? He wouldn't think much of it, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
Or maybe you're the boss. Maybe you wouldn't think much of it, you know?
But
that's what we do with our personal finances, Sam. We kind of just say, you know, well, I think I know where I'm going. I hope I know where I'm going. I hope I'm going to get there, and I'm just going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. What you need to do is you need to more formalize, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you spending what you're spending? Now, you don't got to get, you know, neurotic about it or anything.
No, but what you're saying in both instances is the fellow before, Dallas, is in both instances, is the investment piece is the last piece. That comes at the end of all the other analysis and
your
planning.
Your investments are determined by your goals,
right,
not based on, you know, like, well, I think I'm going to make a lot of money because this company's got the cure for cancer.
Right.
That's how you lose your money,
sure.
You know? Or no. I'm going to go into the stock market because I saw it made 25% last year. Your goals determine your investment objectives because your goals determine what rates of return you need to make, and then you can determine based on the horizon of investments which ones are most suited to get me that without creating you know, the greatest probability of getting there.
Sure. It's like an old friend of mine said years ago. He said, so you stand by your goals, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You'll fall for that next big stock coming down the pike.
Right. And Sam, so you see what we're saying is if you went into a building project, a construction project, without detailed plans about how you're going to complete that project and what are the pitfalls and risks that you have in making sure that you cover all those goals and objectives, you have a serious risk of failing on that construction project. Your personal finances don't need to be as detailed as that, but they need to have a much more solidified strategy as to why you're doing what you're doing. That's what I'm trying to get to. And that's what we were trying to say to Dallas also.
So then my primary question is a fee-only company like yours, is that something that someone who, like me,
our firm has structured ourselves to work with the person that's 20-some years old and just starting out, all the way up to the person that's 60-some years old, been an executive, and has $20 million, you know? We have teams, and we've worked with people, and we try to make it that it's cost-effective for that person starting out, and they know that it's cost-effective for them starting out, and they wouldn't complain about the fees we charge them. And it is for the person who's got $20 million and needs a lot of our help, a lot of our tax planning and estate planning knowledge and so forth. So absolutely, Sam, and I think you're going to see the fee-only industry, which tries to only target wealthy people.
Right.
And that has always been what I felt is a mistake in the fee-only industry. That's why our firm has always said, we are like doctors of personal finances, and doctors don't just say, we're only working with wealthy. Some doctors do, but
true.
Most doctors say, if somebody wants our help and willing to pay us the fee for our help, we're going to be able to figure out how to do it for them.
Right.
And that's the way our firm operates. All right, Sam?
Great. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Good question. And you didn't think I would set him up to call in so I could give that rant on our company.
No, you just, I was going to say rant is your
my
your trade
style.
In stock.
There you go.
The stock and trade, as it were. Well, we were talking to somebody today, and they were. It's the same type of answer that you set the tone at the office, and we're following the tone, is that they came in and we talked about investments. And they said, well, basically what the market's doing is that, you know, I said, we could decide that whatever the market is, if the market's going to go down, we could attempt to outperform that in a major way. But we know to do that, we'd have to take outsized risk. And to do the outside risk, it's going to come to fruition half the time, but other times it would be a disaster. And so that's not what you decided up front that you're looking for. And we don't do that type of thing anymore. We figure what your goals are, what type of investing you need to do, and what do you need to hit. And
right.
We're not going to take outside risk.
Yeah, somebody said that to me today. They said, well, wouldn't you get more out of the market? You're concerned about the market right now. And I said, yeah, I'm concerned about the market. But what if I'm wrong? And so if I'm wrong, I'm going to be totally wrong. If I move my allocation down, that if I'm right, I've got a large amount to put back in that's going to give me incredible juice in that. But at the same time, if I'm wrong, my portfolio is not going to suffer all that much.
Right.
So that's the key. You got to learn how to figure the risk-reward ratio. It doesn't mean you ever, unless you feel that the risk is 100%, that something's happened, that there's 100% risk that the market's going to zero, you know, you would never pull out of the market. It's just foolish to do that 100%. You really have to figure out what's the risk-reward ratio, and you allocate back according to that risk-reward ratio. And right now, the risk-reward ratio is definitely in the negative range, in my opinion.
Or put 100% of your money in telecommunications stock, like people did in the late
90s. You know, because that's where you made your most money. Anyway, next week will be another open show, right, Chris? Because we didn't have a...
Yep.
We didn't have Wade on tonight, so next week will be another open show. So if you got questions you didn't get them in tonight, you'll be able to get them in next week. And who's going to be here? You or
we'll get
Tom?
More music, and Erin and Caroline's going to be here. I will be
no,
here.
No, she said no. She doesn't want to be with us. We couldn't remember her name.
Oh, she doesn't know if she will or not.
We didn't know her
education
background.
I think she really wants
background.
To be. I think she wants to be here.
Anyway, we're finished for tonight. Next week we'll be back. Money, Rich, and Wealth. Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.